Good evening, everybody. Texas fans out there. My name is Jerry Hamilton, joined by Rod Babers. Obviously, we got a lot to talk about tonight on this Tuesday evening Longhorn live stream. Got portal news. Obviously, the big news is Terrence Brooks hit the portal today. We'll get Rod's thoughts on that. Dominic Williams, a D lineman out of TCU. The transfer should be on campus or getting to campus shortly. A lot to talk about. 2 days away from the NFL draft. We're going to take a lot of your questions tonight, guys. We want all your questions in tonight. We're gonna talk portal. We're going to talk a little recruiting. We'll kind of rehash a little bit of the spring game. But tonight we're here for you guys as much as we are anything. So we'd love to hear all your questions. And so good to have you guys tonight. Obviously, tonight's live stream is brought to you by Texas Electricity Ratings. Texas Electricity Ratings is what? For those of y'all living in the state of Texas and in major cities with deregulated electricity like Dallas and Houston, you understand that deregulated electricity market can be confusing. Texas Electricity Ratings is a shopping website that lets you compare prices, read customer reviews, and find a good electricity that fits your needs. It also filters out the gimmicky plans on websites like Power to Choose that trick customers into expensive bills. So if you're in the market for a new electricity plan, shop TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for all your electricity needs and hook them, guys. All right, Rod. The question everybody wants to know, they haven't heard from you yet. Bobby and I went live shortly after Terrence Brooks announced intentions to enter the transfer portal. What are your initial thoughts, takeaways?
Yeah, I'm a little surprised. There's no doubt about it. I'm surprised. I thought, you know, because Texas had him and Gavin Holmes basically kind of penciled in as co-starters. He didn't start the spring game. I don't know if he felt some kind of way about that. Didn't have a good spring game. I don't think anybody really in the secondary other than, you know, Malik Muhammad and a couple of the guys did have a great spring game. But and I went back and actually, I don't know, after I heard the news, I went back and watched some film from last season about on the DBs. And you know, I don't know. He ended the season on a bad note, which everybody in the secondary did against Washington as well, and gave up some big plays there. So I don't know if he was upset that he was considered a co-starter basically with Gavin Holmes now, and maybe Gavin Holmes had even overtaken him a little bit. I'm not sure if even there's maybe discussion at Jahdae Barron. We don't know what – Jahdae Barron didn't practice in the spring, so we don't even know what their plan is for Jahdae. Maybe they – feel that Jahdae Barron could be the solution opposite Malik Muhammad at the other corner. We know Jahdae, I think he wants to play corner from what I've heard. That's what he'd like to be because he thinks his NFL future might be at corner. And I wonder maybe if he felt maybe that Jahdae Barron would be put out at corner. Maybe that was some competition. Maybe that would put him in a situation where he would lose more reps. It's a surprise. I'm not really sure. I think more information will come out. I'm sure the meeting that he had, the post-spring meeting with the coaches.
Yeah.
There could be something there that he didn't like what he heard in those meetings. Sark is very up. He's up front in those meetings. He's talked about that. He tries to be really honest with the guys. I don't know where they believe that Terrence Brooks's all-around game is right now. I don't know if they believe that he is considered one of their frontline starters and one of their key starters. So I'm not sure exactly what happened. I'm a little surprised. I like Terrence Brooks. You guys know that. I'm a big fan of his game.
Do you think he's a better fit in a boundary corner versus a field?
See, and this is interesting. The field and the boundary thing is interesting because I've been saying for a while, I think Texas has to get away from the rigidity on that defense. That's right. That's why Sark's word, one of his key terms during the spring, describing his defenders in the back seven was versatility. He likes versatility, guys who are versatile. Guys who are versatile, they make your defense malleable. And if you're malleable, you have more solutions to problems. And if you'll notice in the spring game, they didn't go from boundary to field like they did last season, where Ryan Watts would always go to the boundary. They didn't do it. They did more left-right.
Yeah.
Those guys didn't travel. They didn't travel with the boundary in the field. I think they're getting away from it. Now, because it's been an experiment for the spring game, right. I think they're getting away from it. I think they want corners who can do both.
And, Rod, one of the things I was told was moving to the SEC Texas thinks the X outside receivers are going to be bigger, longer arm, more athletic guys on a whole than what they faced in the Big 12. So one of the things I was told was more of a taller, longer corner that had vertical speed. On TexasFootball.com, we put out Takario Davis, the corner from Arizona that's in the portal, we believe is a top target of Texas, a 6'3", 195-pound corner out of Long Beach Millikan High in the 22 class, who had a standout season for the Wildcats last year, led the Pac-12 and PBUs with 15. So obviously there aren't many 6'3 guys that can actually play corner, right? But there's more now, but there's not a lot. But I think we may start to see a little move to more ride, more vertical speed with a little length, because I really think Texas, from what I was told, is looking at the size, speed combination in the SEC. They think it's going to be a little different on the X or outside wide receiver.
Yeah, I always say that, honestly, Rod B would have had a hard time being recruited by Sark. And honestly, all the coaches who prefer the length and the wingspan of these corners these days. And I agree. I mean, that's, I think, ideally what they want is in the NFL, the guys they're coveting for like the top 15, top 20 corners. Yeah. The Patrick Surtain, that guy look, the young guy from Sauce Gardner from the Jets. Like, they're all like 6'2", around 205, 210. Look at Christian Gonzalez from the Patriots. I think that's ideally what they want. Now, Malik Muhammad's not that. He's not as tall as those guys are. I think he's probably an inch or two, maybe an inch and a half shorter than those guys. But I think that's ideally what they want, those kinds of corners. Even, you know, Ryan Watson, the young man you're describing, they may be a little bit taller than that, but those guys all run like 4.4s, low 4.4s and high 4.3s. That is the difference overall. Do you have that kind of top-end speed? That's what you're talking about. So you can have the frame, but you have the top-end speed to match. I'm not even sure Malik Muhammad has the top-end speed like that. I'm not sure. He's a technician.
Yes.
Even he admits he's been playing the corner position since he was in sixth grade. He's been playing the corner position for like 8-9 years already.
Right.
Hell, I mean, I didn't get to that point until I was like, you know, a junior in college or a senior in college. He's been playing the corner position for a long time. So the man has studied it, and he that's why he's such a technician. But yeah, I mean, I understand exactly where they're going. That's where the NFL, they consider those corners to be the top end guys who have that kind of those raw measurables.
Right. Right. People have asked, we've had multiple people ask about a Colin Simmons suite. I have no idea what it means. I'm sure Matthew Hutchinson can find that and bring that up. Rod, the other thing is, I was going to ask you is, you know, I've had a chance to really ask you this. I'm sure you watched the spring game back.
Anybody? Three times. It's my third time.
Anybody else stand out to you after watching it two other times? Maybe you didn't catch the first go round. Anybody that caught your eye, maybe?
That's a good one. Defensively, I'll say, what's the young man? Akana, the edge rusher. I'll mispronounce his first name, so I don't want to.
Sealy Akana, benefit of a designated pass rush specialist, right?
And man, he's got exactly natural pass rusher. What I always say, you got to be a natural pass rusher. You can teach it, you can get better at it, but truth is, most of the great ones, they're just natural pass rushers. And I know he's light, or at least he was light. I'm not sure what he is now. He's been packing on the pounds, but that he is a natural pass rusher.
Yeah.
Naturally adapted really well. I'll go back to what you talked about. You mentioned this, Sevilla. Not a lot of people talking about Sevilla. If Bill Nord is going to be what Sevilla is, right. Texas, things are looking up in the interior D line. If Bill Norton's going to be with Sevilla, the Sevilla looked really good. I was actually very happy and optimistic now about what he could bring to the table. I'm hoping, that's because I didn't, you know, Colin Simmons, there weren't a lot of plays, but when I just went back and watched more of him, we talked about how it's going to be hard to keep Ryan Wingo off the field, and it is. I'm not going to say it's hard to keep him off the field because your edges are so deep now, but they do need to find – they're going to have to find plays for him.
Right.
You got to find plays for him. There are certain guys who are prodigies, and you need to accelerate their development, and he's one of those guys too, just going back on a rewatch that stands out. as well. And I mean, the wide receivers and how deep they are. I mean, they're just, I you know, and going back, I do think, I know the pass defense has been an issue for Texas, but there's no doubt elite quarterback play with a talented depth at the wide receiver position. It played a huge role in why Texas was so explosive in that spring game. Wish the DBs would have made more plays. We can talk about that. But I am pretty split on, was it just the offense that was that elite offensively in terms of their passing game, the quarterback play and the wide receivers? Is the passing defense that inept? And I think it's a little bit of both. I don't think they're totally inept, but I do think that offense, man, they're fast. They're fast. They're explosive. And they've got a lot of weapons to choose from.
Yeah. So everybody's asking if I'm okay. Yeah, man, I've had 3 weeks of allergies, man. It's crushed me. So I'd have to mute and cough every now and again. Rick Ambergi, a couple other people have asked how the TCU DT visit's going. He's supposed to arrive this evening. I think he finished up classes around 2 today. So came down this evening. Not a heavy night. Tomorrow's the big day for his visit. I mean, he may have some dinner with the Texas staff tonight. But tomorrow is the full day at the University of Texas for Dominic Williams. But again, he wasn't scheduled to arrive until this evening because he had classes through the early part of the afternoon in Fort Worth. So we'll see how that goes. I think it's a very, very important recruit for Texas. I think he's a difference maker over the ball, a guy that's going to play in the NFL for a few years. Cataract Cowboy waiting on Guanabanas in May, as am I. See you there, Utiki and Jupiter, my friend. so we'll see that. But then also in the portal, look, somebody asked about Anthony Johnson Jr., a corner from Western Kentucky. CJ Vogel put his name out, a guy that Texas could be interested in. I think Takario Davis out of Arizona is absolutely the top guy. I think Anthony Johnson at Western Kentucky is a guy Texas has taken a long look at. He's a guy that was out of Miami, Norland. He played at Norland and Pace down in Miami. Those kids move around a lot now in the public schools down there. So he played at Pace in Norland. Then he went to West Florida, a smaller school, transferred up to Western Kentucky, had 4 interceptions his only year in FBS football, and he's in the portal now. You know, look, he'll have Miami. He'll have Florida State. He'll have people coming after him. He's a really good player that was under-recruited that is going to he's going to end up being on some draft boards, it looks like. So there's the stats for Anthony Johnson Jr., the 4 interceptions there, 44 tackles in 2023 for Western Kentucky there. So he's out of Miami, Norland High again. Also spent some time at Pace. But another name we're hearing that Texas has interest in as far as the corners. Could they take 2? We don't think it's out of the question. They definitely want to get 1. Not out of the question they take 2. Somebody asked about Derek Harmon, the big offensive tackle from Michigan State that entered the portal. I haven't heard anything on that yet. I do think if Texas gets Dominic Williams, if, not saying they are, if, see how this all goes, doesn't mean Texas is absolutely done. If there's somebody else that comes up and strikes the fancy, it could happen. We also have to monitor who else jumps in the portal from Texas. Bobby Burton put out an update on TexasFootball.com about an hour ago, I think, that, you know, he's expecting that number to end up being 9 to 11 entering the portal. Yeah. And that's kind of on the 8 to 10 train I've been on. So we're not hearing about another starter leaving at all. But there could be a couple of depth pieces that hit the portal as well. So that's what we'll say. A couple of days, Rod, a couple of days away from the NFL draft. We're going to have a watch with us for the NFL draft. That first round, I know you'll be a part of that. All those final mock drafts are out. PFF has 10 Texas guys getting drafted. The NFL.com 7-round mock draft has 8 Texas players drafted. Bucky Brooks, I think, had one Texas player in the first round, 3 in the second on one of his latest mock drafts. So a couple of nights away from life's changing for guys, Rod, and you've been through that. Is there anxiousness leading up to it? I mean, kind of, you know, what's it like?
Oh man, for everybody, I mean, I was a guy that was drafted in the 4th round, so a little bit different than the guys drafted in the 1st round, but I'm sure for everybody it feels the same. For the guys who are watching, who are already in the league watching, because they're watching the draft too, they're all thinking, I hope my team gets better. I just don't want them to draft my position, because that means your team is looking to move on potentially. But if you're a young guy watching it, I mean, it's hard to watch it. I'm not gonna lie to you. Some guys choose not to watch it. And I that's not a bad idea to just decide, you know what, I'm not watching it all. I'm going to go do something else. Because if you're not getting drafted immediately and you don't know exactly where you're going to get drafted, it can be pretty tough watching the draft and watching guys who you played against, watching guys who you played with, guys you're happy for. But it's tough if you're, you know, sliding the draft, you're a competitor. You want to be, everybody believes they should be drafted higher than they actually were drafted. Even the guys drafted in the first round, everybody believes they should be drafted higher than they were drafted. So it is a little tough. I mean, I was dropping in the draft to the fourth round, 123rd overall pick. So, I mean, I watched a lot of guys get drafted who I thought I was better than. Doesn't mean I was, but it, I thought I, you know, deserved to be drafted higher. So it is a little bit of, I would say it's a process that has, you have a lot of anxiety watching it and a frustration for a lot of guys, for most of the guys, outside of the guys in the first round, even some of the guys in the first round, you see them. That's why the NFL is inviting fewer guys to the green room this year, because they don't want the stories of guys sitting frustrated, upset, thinking, man, I want to be drafted higher. The NFL don't want those stories. Those are not the cool stories the NFL wants. Now, it ends up being a great story when it's Lamar Jackson later on. He's got two MVPs. But for the most part, the NFL doesn't like that on draft day. It's a downer. All right. Well, guys, that's why they're only inviting like 15, 16 guys to the draft this year. Guys they know are going to be drafted in the first round, and no chance of guys dropping and them having that negative storyline. So that's the truth of it. Most guys watching the draft, they think they should have been drafted higher. So they're probably a little upset, and they got a chip on their shoulder. But that's what makes them great. That's part of why they're being able to make it to that level. It's because they have had a chip on their shoulder. Most of them have been counted out. Nobody thought you would make it to the league. That's part of that motivational currency that you have to have as a professional athlete. So it's the beginning of that story. I was talking to Quandre Diggs about that, and Quandre was like, "Oh man," and Quandre's been—he had that his entire career. He had it when he came to Texas because, you know, he was one of the last guys to get a scholarship, and he was considered an underdog in that category, then drafted late in the NFL. So there are a lot of those stories. That's most of the NFL are those stories where guys are drafted mid-round to later and they thought they should have been drafted higher, and it just adds to their motivation. It adds that chip on their shoulder. That's part of what makes them great.
All right, that is Rod Babers. Rod, we're going to take we have a couple of super chats. After that, we're going to take a lot of time for your questions tonight. Hey, guys, thank you for the super chat, DMX Kobe 08. Hook'em, guys. Jerry, do you expect Aaron Butler to get some playing time early? His high school film is ridiculous. It's a really good question. Rod's talked about the circle of trust expanding. I'm not sure it's going to expand that far.
Yes,
I mean, that's going to be tough. If Aaron Butler breaks through, that means Sark thinks he could be a potentially special player on this team, because it's going to be tough to break through when you consider Isaiah Bond, Jonte Cook, Ryan Wingo, Silas Bolden coming in. DeAndre Moore is going to play. And who am I forgetting? Who's the sixth?
Matthew Golden.
Who would say?
Golden.
Matthew Golden. There you go. I mean, those six guys are going to play this year. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think Silas Bolden will be your starting punt returner. I think Matthew Golden is your starting kickoff returner. Sark talked about how excited he is for special teams. Now, could Aaron Butler get a couple of chances in the punt return game? I'm not going to rule that out, because I think he's got that ability, Rod. When you watch Aaron Butler, he is a stop-start COD guy that can make a lot of moves in short space. Those guys are good punt return guys. If you're fearless – and then you can make multiple moves in short space. Those are your punt return guys. Matthew Golden is your kickoff return guy. That guy that's patient, sees his crease, hits it, has that strength to run through that first tackle. There's a difference in those return men. But I think Aaron Butler could push his way on the field in some punt return situations. But if he works his way into the rotation, that means Sark and them think he's going to be a special player, Rob, because it shouldn't happen this year. He should have to have some patience while he learns the position this year.
Yeah, that would be a lot. I mean, we haven't seen Sark expand his rotation. Maybe ever actually that much in terms of the receivers. I do think you'll get 5 to 6 guys in regular rotation. I don't know about Aaron Butler, but I do like his film. I watched his high school film too, and he's got all the traits that Sark likes at receiver. Yeah. He's fast. He's twitchy at receiver. He's great with the ball in his hands. He's a yak daddy, if you will, once he gets the ball in his hands. So I'm with Jared. I think if you kind of let him develop, I think Sark wants to create a pipeline, guys. So he's trying to get at least 1 to 2 guys drafted into the draft at the wide receiver position every year. What he's got right now with A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, potentially Jay Witt, that's exactly what Sark wants year after year. He wants to create a pipeline. So the hope is that these guys do produce to that point, and if they want to get to the NFL and they have those aspirations, and Isaiah Bond goes this year, and then you have another place that opens up, and then other guys, and then just create a pipeline and more opportunities. Sark's offense is a wide receiver-friendly offense. So he'll always be able to recruit really good wide receivers, and he's really great at recruiting quarterbacks, and great wide receivers want to play with great quarterbacks. So he's always going to have that dynamic working for him. So Aaron Butler is one of those guys, though. I'm with you. I think he fits he's the prototypical Sark receiver. He's got a type at receiver, and Aaron Butler fits it. There ain't no doubt.
All right, Justin Yarbrough, thank you for the super chat. Jerry, will Texas have 85 scholarship players when the season starts? It sounds like Davis has a no contact clause. Now, how does Texas go about it? Explain the no contact clause for portal guys. So if somebody checks no contact, that just means they don't want people hitting them up, essentially. They're saying they know where they're going. And look, that can change. He's had that. He's been in the portal for a while. So the no contact is a sign to college coaches they know where they're going. Okay, so we'll see on Takario Davis. What that means. Will Texas have 85 scholarship players when the season begins? I'm going with 83 or 84 unless they take 2 corners out of the portal. A punter out of the portal is possible. 3D linemen this spring are possible. If you get Dominic Williams, you probably stop there unless it's somebody you just can't pass up. But I think Savea Norton, and if they can get Dominic Williams, That shores up a need at the defensive line, because I do think Dominic Williams is a flat-out difference maker, could be a guy that's in contention for some all-conference honors, even in the SEC. I think he's that talented. I think he's very similar to the chip on the shoulder that Byron Murphy plays with, the physicality, the quickness, and the absolute want to beat the guy across from him to prove he should have been there all along. Yeah. I think there's some similarities with him and Byron Murphy in that regard. So we'll see. I mean, and some people have asked earlier today, would Bert Auburn end up would they scholarship Bert Auburn? I don't have that answer. I think Bobby leaned the no on that because he's doing very well in the NIL part of it for him. So Rob H says, don't call me, I'll call you situation with the no contact clause. Essentially, guys are telling people, don't be banging my DMs. Don't be hitting up my agent or my advisor, whatever you want to call it.
Jerry, can I ask you this, though? Because the no contact clause, no contact option, whatever it is in the portal, isn't it basically just the NCAA admitting that tampering happens? They just don't – we don't want to know about it, but it's definitely happening. Because otherwise, how are these guys figuring out what school they want to go to if you can't contact them?
Yeah, I think I think there's some of that, but I think the main thing is, so like when Bo Nix went into the portal, he clicked no contact. He had decided he was going to go to Oregon. So I think it's situational. Obviously, his father, Patrick Nix, high school coach, former Auburn quarterback, they had done all their research. Patrick Nix probably had a built-in relationship with people up there. They just flat out decided this was the best place for Bo. He's coming in. He's the guy. The offense is going to be really good for him. Boom, no contact. He knows where he's going. Guys, don't even bother.
So is it through the representative or the agent then? And not through – is that basically what it's through, and then they don't even need to – okay. All
right. Exactly.
New age.
Elijah Perez, Super Chat. Rod B, and we're going to get to all your questions. I see one on Jay Toy. We're going to answer that one as well. Rod B, are our wide receiver and DB battles sharpening iron like when you were on the 40? Or is it more iron slicing through butter? Hope it's the former.
Oh, man. Yeah, I gotta admit, watching that spring game, it was not great, man. It was not good. It was not good. Because the problem with the spring game was there were no contested, there wasn't a lot of contested plays by the secondary either. You're talking about guys just running wide open, guys running free, big explosive plays, multiple 75-yard touchdowns, multiple, you got explosive plays for touchdowns. I think he had five of them for touchdowns, ultimately, explosive plays for touchdowns. So that's what concerns me. And they weren't necessarily sophisticated concepts. We're talking about switch releases. We're talking about, and I will admit, when they tried to play bump and run with some of the younger guys, Gavin Holmes being one of them too, they didn't play their fundamentals and technique failed them. So they weren't playing bump and run very well on the boundary side. That's something they have to get better at. And they didn't play bump and run a lot on the field side. They played on the boundary side. And like I said, they got big plays out of Gavin Holmes giving up the 75-yard touchdown, the 50-some-yard touchdown to Ryan Wingo. That was bumping around the boundary side. The safeties weren't necessarily reading the eyes of the quarterback, because if they were, you look at Trey Owens is great, but he wasn't eyeing anybody else other than Ryan Wingo on that play. Right. So you would have had a great jump if you were just looking at the quarterback, because from the jump, you're just looking at Ryan Wingo. And Bobby brought this up, and I agree with him. You know, in practice, Ryan Wingo was winning a lot. Because Trey Owens is looking right at him.
That's exactly right.
He's like, that guy wins. I'm looking at – because on the touchdown, guys, the game-winning touchdown, go look at – there are other guys that are open.
Yeah.
That might be easier options. I took a picture of it on my phone, and he didn't care about that. He's like, no. I'm going to that dude. It's his play. This is a Ryan
Wingo. He pretty much ran the little pick action, right?
He ran a little – it's a pick route, rub route. I call it exactly. It's a pick route. I'm a defensive guy. I agree. Thank you, Jerry. They'll call it a rub route. But, yes, exactly. That's exactly what it was. And so it was just – you're just talking about fundamental breakdowns and mental breakdowns. Terrence Brooks, who's not a transfer portal, giving up the first touchdown. That was just bad eyes in the backfield. Same thing, bad angles to the football. Xavier Fields and me took a bad angle to the football to Thatcher Milton touchdown. So when I went back and watched it, it was kind of basic stuff, because it wasn't necessarily Sark scheming guys open. It really wasn't that. It was just kind of basic fundamental letdowns by the defense. Bad eyes, and like I said, guys taking bad angles to the football. Guys ultimately, there were a couple of plays not being able to pass off receivers on switch releases, simple stuff like that. So it was a little disappointing. I think it's stuff they can fix. That's the best news I can give you. They can fix it easily. But the bad news is it's some of the same issues that plagued them last season.
Right.
And you would think that they would have fixed some of those in the spring already. There you go.
We had a question earlier I wanted to address on recruiting. Somebody asked if guys from DFW leaving hurts Texas and DFW. I don't think it does at all. I think, look, kids are going to leave. Texas has signed so many players from DFW. If you just think about the impact players, starters or impact players for Texas next year, just start it. Well, your quarterback, Southlake, okay? Your Jonte Cook is DeSoto, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just go down the line here, Cam Williams is your right tackle, okay? DJ Campbell's your right guard. Jake Majors is your center from Prosper. Your two backup guards, and Flood says he has seven starters. That's who we're talking about. Cole Hudson, Frisco, Neto, Allen. You go to defense, Colin Simmons is going to play a lot, obviously. Alex January will probably be a rotational player from Duncanville. Xavier Filsimi will be on the field in some regard. You just go down the list. It doesn't take long. Anthony Hill, Denton Ryan, obviously. Manny Muhammad, Dallas South, Oak Cliff. When you look through what you think is the two deep for Texas, DFW is extremely well represented. And there's a reason. They're winning state championships, and there's so many players Texas is signing from DFW. So, no, I don't think it hurts Texas. I think naturally when you sign that many quality players from an area, some of those guys aren't going to be able to play. Some of it may be somebody asked for more NIL than Texas wants to give, and then decisions have to be made. But I don't think it hurts. I don't think it hurts Texas at all, because here's why. Texas was 12-2, won the Big 12, went to the college football playoff. They're about to blow up on social media again about NFL draft. Texas is a, when they're winning, they're a power. And there's an understanding that not everybody's going to get on the field. And some guys will leave for better situations, but I don't think it hurts Texas and DFW at all. I don't think that's happening. All right, Darvell Wilson. As a former D2 safety, the spring game is meant for the offense to be successful. True. How much weight do you give to that, the factor who starts at the beginning of the season? I think he's talking about in the secondary, I believe.
Yeah, with Terrence Brooks out, that's big, because I assume Terrence Brooks would definitely be starter, co-starter. But now Gavin Holmes is definitely the front runner to win that job opposite Malik Muhammad. The guys we know, Malik Muhammad's going to start for you. Jadae Barron's going to start for you. You know, I think Derek Williams is going to start for you. Those three guys.
Yeah.
Makuba.
Yeah, he was really good in the spring game, Rodney Ross.
Yeah, I really like Makuba. He's smaller than I thought, though. I will admit, he's smaller than I thought.
6 foot 182, 185.
He's a little smaller than I thought.
I
thought he'd be a little thicker, but he's quick to the football. I like that. I like that he's quick to the football. So it'll be him or some or Taff Daddy, him or Taff Daddy, some amalgamation of that as starting. And I think that's your starter. But the problem is, not problem, but the concern is Texas, they are hell bent on rotating. They're gonna rotate guys. So even your frontline starters, when you figure it out, I think Texas will be solid there. That's only 65% of the snaps, 65-70% of the snaps. They're gonna rotate guys, and because they want to keep everybody fresh, and that's where the concern is. So when they rotate guys, I almost wonder if they should do more like different configurations. With players, instead of a wholesale rotation of frontline guys out, now backups are in. Instead of the wholesale rotations, I almost wonder if you should go with different lineups. You know what I mean, and try to figure it out. Now that's tough because you only got so many reps in practice to figure that out. So maybe in spring was the time to be working on that kind of stuff. But I almost wonder if you should put in certain what I call stabilizers.
Yes,
guys who will
stay. Rod, we talked about it. I mean, I didn't want to pull out my hair because I don't know how long I'm going to have it. But last year I was challenged when they took Murphy and Sweat out of the game at the same time.
Exactly.
And they took out the starting safeties at the same time. I'm like, whoa, you're up the middle. Defense just got a lot weaker for this drive. And opponents had success in those scenarios. So I'm with you, Rod. You know, if you go back and look at that, okay, Murphy, you take one of those guys out, you leave the other one in. I mean, but yeah, you're right. Texas is going to play. They rotated six D tackles last year. The plan is the same. And in fact, I think, Rod, they're going to rotate a few more players. I mean, based on what Sark said in February at the press signing day press conference, and then what he's continued to say since then, they want to play more guys. And they feel like they have to play more guys early in the season because at the University of Texas under Steve Sarkisian right now, they're not planning for a 12-game season. They're not planning for a 13-game season. They're planning for a 15 or 16-game season in the future. Where one loss doesn't knock you out as well, right? Yeah. So I think you're going to see more rotation, more depth being built to be able to sustain injuries over a longer course, a longer season. But here's the other thing I will say. But at the same time, Rod, guys, now we have two off weeks during the season.
Yep.
Instead of one, you get two off weeks during the season. So I do think that's going to help teams be a little healthier the last part of the season. But now that we're going to have two off weeks during the season. So there's a little give and take both ways on that. All right, Captain Matthew, what you got? All right, Grady Jenkins, what do you think happened with Jay Toya?
I want to know.
UCLA manned up, and it surprised people in Austin that UCLA manned up on that, because they have not been a team that gets after it in that regard. But they did on this one. And some people are like, oh, Jay Toy was just using Texas, as leverage. Well, I don't agree with that. Not based on what I was told. I think what happened was, if UCLA wasn't going to become part of the actual game, then you probably end up at Texas, right? I don't think he intentionally said, I'm staying at UCLA no matter what. I think UCLA did a very good job, unexpectedly to some, to keep him in the fold. What's interesting about that is, I mean, he's not going to win as many games this year. Good on UCLA for that. People are asking about Dominic Williams. Look, I think when he didn't commit to Oklahoma, a lot of people are going to say, oh, he'll end up at Texas. NIL day and age. While I agree Oklahoma's not in the best spot coming out of that visit, see how the visit goes with Dominic Williams. So there, a lot of people put picks in for Toy. I had it a high percentage. Didn't end up happening. I don't think Dominic Williams is returning to TCU. That's a different story. They already took and wiped him from the TCU roster. But what I am saying in the NIL day and age, we're gonna see what happens. But I think Texas is a good fit for Dominic Williams with the scheme. Dominic Williams camped at Texas as a high school player, hoped to get an offer. He didn't get approved for offer. So I do think he likes Texas. I think he likes the program. I think he likes the culture. I think there's a lot of things he likes about Texas. Now it comes down to, look, this is the first time he's met Kenny Baker. So anybody just tossing in picks and everything right now, it's the first time he's met Kenny Baker. You got to go through this process. First time he's sitting down with Steve Sarkisian as a guy that Texas wants. You got to go through this process. But I do think it's a huge recruitment for Texas. And I think Texas would love to get that done because I think he's a multi-year NFL player in the future. All right, Rosa. So, Jerry, since OU are not in SEC yet, isn't all this SEC portal talk rules irrelevant until the end of June? No. That's already we've kind of gone over that a little bit. A player from Texas or OU cannot transfer to another SEC school. That's even if they're a graduate student, someone that Bobby Burton talked to. So no, these guys cannot transfer. The only way you can transfer to the SEC from Texas or OU is if you sit out a year. You cannot transfer to the SEC and play immediately, even as a graduate student, to our understanding.
I didn't know that.
So we'll see what happens. People are saying Texas is the best business decision for Dominic. I do agree with that. So we shall see what happens. So Jeff Cook's watching hockey, by the way, Rangers goal. All right, Rod, did Akina emphasize turning your head and locating the ball in coverage? Seems like we have had a lot more picks back in the day.
We had some ball hawks back in the day too. I mean, Nathan Vasher was a great ball hawk, always looking for the ball. Even Dakari Pearson back in the day, one of my guys, he was a ball hawk too. Huff Daddy was a guy that always was ball-oriented, guy that made a lot of havoc plays that way. So I just think it's all about the players you have. I think, I think Derek Williams has that in him. I think he can be that kind of player. Malik Muhammad is the ball hawk in that secondary. So I think that's a big part of it. And what I would like for the guys, because they don't necessarily seem to have a plan when the ball is thrown deep down the field. In this situation, that wasn't the case because the guys were either trailing behind or there was a busted coverage and they were in the wrong spot for the deep balls in spring game. But in the games last season, they didn't have a plan. And you got to have a plan based on the release of the receiver and where you end up after the release and the initial stem of the receiver, what your plan is for the vertical routes downfield. For everything else is pretty much muscle memory, but you do have time to process deep balls downfield. And you know if you're trailing and you need to play hands and you need to play hands and hips, right? I need to get to the hip. I need to get to the near hip. And I need to play the hands because I'm way behind. I'm trailing, right? Or if you're in a position, you're in phase and, okay, I'm in phase enough where I can feel the receiver next to me. I can feel him. I know exactly where he is. So I can turn and look for the football now that I can feel the receiver, and then I can play the football if you're in phase, right? The look and lean. Yeah. Or if you're near the receiver, you're in good position, but you're facing the receiver and you don't necessarily have the time to turn, locate the football and feel the receiver at the same time. And then, okay, then I'm playing eyes. I can see him. I'm right here. I'm face to face. I'm in a good position, but I'm not in a position to turn the football. So I got to play eyes. I'm looking at eyes. Eyes will lead me to hands. Eyes get big. Most of them do. Then it'll lead you to hands. When he starts to focus, then you look at his hands, or his hands will come up. He ain't got to come up to catch the football. Hands come up. You play the football. So, I mean, there are other ways to do it. Everybody has different plans when they're in phase and out of phase. Out of phase basically means you're trailing, you're out of position. In phase, you're in a great position to play the football. And these guys don't have I call it the panic plan. You know, instead of panicking and freaking out when the ball's in the air deep, you should have a plan of attack. And if you have done your job, if you have done your job and your fundamentals and technique have not failed you completely, then you should be in relatively decent position to be in phase or out of phase when the ball is vertical downfield on the nine route, the post corner, all those deep routes. And then you can come up with a plan how to play it. Now, some of these guys, I think, are being taught you have to play it a certain way every time. And Coach Aquino was not about that. Coach Aquino believed, I will give you the tools, and only you can figure out when you can use them. Take, for instance, Manny Muhammad. They were playing the Jonte Cook third down contested catch on the sideline that Quinn Ewers threw.
Yes.
It was a beautiful throw. It was a beautiful catch by Jonte Cook. Go watch Manny Muhammad's technique on that play. Does a speed turn. It was a beautiful speed turn. Almost like it ended up 270 degrees and ends up. And the reason for the speed turn, some guys would open their hips and play that. It was kind of a curl comeback that he ran. They would open their hips and try to play that, and they'd probably end up underneath that route, trying to undercut it, and potentially that wide receiver could catch that ball, and then if he's skilled enough, tiptoe up the sideline, tap the sideline, and head upfield because you undercut it. And what did Manny do? Speed turn to stay on the upfield shoulder, and then ended up contesting it. Still contested, almost knocked it down, but still stay on the upfield shoulder. So just in case there's something, you know, funky going on, or hey, maybe this might try for a turn and go. If he's gonna go do a hitch and go or a curl and go, he's got to run right into me. Just so you know. So it's just you got his fundamentals didn't fail him on that point. My point is your fundamentals and technique are first and foremost. But then after that, you get vertical. Once you're 15, 20 yards downfield, you got to have a plan of attack about how to play the football and how to make a play.
By the way, this is what Rod hit on, why I think Manny Muhammad is such a tremendous corner without maybe having that 4.35 speed. He plays in phase all the time, Rod.
Yeah, he does.
In phase. If you play in phase all the time, you can be a tremendous corner without having 100-meter speed.
Yep.
He plays in great. He's great technician. He's always in phase. By the way, UT boy, guys, that was Jonte's best catch as a Texas Longhorn, by the way.
It was a great catch.
Coverage, tough catch. He had a hand in his vision at one point. Arms extended along the sidelines. Great throw by Quinn. Great cat coverage. Great catch. He doesn't get much better than that. I want to also hit on we're going to talk about Santana Wilson. That's a good question when he arrives. I see similarities with Manny Muhammad and him if Santana Wilson's as physical against the run. I see some similarities in those guys. I want to hit on recruiting real quick in the 25 class, 26 class. What is the Texas staff doing this week? I think it's important to note. They're in-house this week, having a lot of phone calls, FaceTimes, what have you, with top 25 targets. Also continuing to watch some video on some 26s, things such as that, even some 25s. And then a majority of Texas staff hits the road next week. The spring evaluation period opened April 15th, goes to the end of May. But there's only so many days you can be on the road. You can only see a prospect once in person. So just know Texas staff in-house this week, beginning prepared, making a lot of recruiting phone calls this week with 25 targets. Continuing that process, maybe get a couple of official visits set up here in the next week, 10 days with a couple of targets as well. Then they're going to hit the road next week. And I think the Texas staff is going to be all along I-10 from coast to coast the majority of the time. Obviously, Kyle Flood will go up to Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and see Nick Brooks as well. But I think you're going to see this Texas staff all running all across I-10 from Florida to California. And I think you're going to see a few 2026 offers leading up to that elite camp in June, which, look, people remember that elite camp last year is when KJ Lacy committed and the 25 class kind of got started. So it wouldn't shock me if we don't see more talent at that camp, especially after Texas makes a few offers. All right, I think we have a couple other questions in a super chat here, Matthew. All right, Rod, looks like he's signed with this transfer. I feel for him. Thank you for that super chat.
Hey, thank you. I will, I ain't gonna lie, it hit me hard because I'm just thinking about, man, they lost Ryan Watts, right? They lost Ryan Watts, and you know, and he was a leader out there for him and a starter last season. They lost Jaron Thompson, who was a starter for him. And some people were like, oh man, you know, good riddance for some of these guys. That was another starter for you. Hell, they lost, you know, Keaton Crawford, another guy that was a veteran in that secondary. And, you know, you start looking at, I love that they brought in Makuba, who's a proven commodity. Jadé Barron is awesome. I think Jadé Barron should be in the Thorpe conversation if they utilize him the right way. And I'm a big fan of Manny Muhammad. So I love the pieces they have. I would just admit the pieces, the sum of his parts right now is not adding up for the secondary. I do think they're ready to take a step. But, yeah, Terrence Brooks was a part of that to me. I thought, you know, in my opinion, he was a big part of it to stabilize the corner opposite Malik Muhammad. And now you don't have that. Nothing against Gavin Holmes. I like Gavin Holmes, but I probably like Terrence Brooks a little more than I like Gavin Holmes, to be honest with you. Just overall skill set. Like I said, I like Gavin Holmes too, but I think now there's going to be concern about that cornerback opposite Manny Muhammad, about that position specifically. And how do you shore it up? Like, give yourself options. Like they're doing at D tackle, right? That's why we love Sark. Sark will exhaust every possibility to make sure that the roster is as sound as possible. There are no holes on the roster. Well, I think that may be a hole now. Not a hole, at least a concern. If it's not a hole, it's a concern. That cornerback position opposite Manny Muhammad. So how you address it, maybe it is Jadé Barron. Do you feel that good about Jalen Gilbo? Do you like what Jalen Gilbo is bringing to the table? If so, then maybe it is Jadé Barron getting reps out there at corner, which
I was going to ask you, Rod, what do you think of Jadé at corner?
I like Jadé Barron at corner. I do. I think Jadé Barron can play corner. Now, does he translate to a corner at the highest level? That's a different discussion. At the college level, he's definitely a guy that can play corner. There's no question. There's no doubt about it. I don't know what his top-end speed is. I don't know what Jadé's top-end speed is, but his instincts are so next level. They're so high level. They're so finely tuned. His instincts as a football player, and that makes him seem faster, I think, on the football field than he actually may be.
Yeah, by the way, super chat of the day, John Campbell, thank you. While the secondary is a concern, can y'all please reiterate how good this team is for all of us? And how the weaknesses of this team aren't nearly as damning as they once were under previous coaches, and sky's the limit. 100%. Look, nothing's changed with me. I think Texas is going to be a better team this year than they were last year. And there's a number of reasons for that. I think you have a third-year starting quarterback. I think you may have the best backup quarterback in the country at this point. I think your versatility at running back is better than it has been to this point under Sark. And that's not the takeaway from Bijan and Roshan. Bijan was your guy. Roshan played a role as the backup running back, is tremendous at it. Jaden Blue and center backs are a great combo, I think, because Jaden Blue's a tremendous receiver. He's got great hands. Look, I think Texas is going to address their issues that they have. And here's the thing. If you look around I was speaking to a long-term buddy today. If you look around college football, everybody's got him. Michigan won a national championship last year without a number one receiver. That would have been Xavier Worthy, but he ended up at Texas. So, you know, these days of perfect football teams due to the portal, I don't think are there. I think Texas is going to have a better team next year. And the other reason I think that, Rod, I think they're a faster team. I think overall 1 through 85, they're a faster, more athletic team than they were last year. And I know people will say, what are you talking about, Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell? But look, if you looked at the spring game, Isaiah Bond ran 10.5 in high school. Ryan Wingo ran 10.55 in high school. DeAndre Moore and Jonte Cook were probably 10.8 guys in high school. Silas Bolden isn't here yet. He's a 10.6 guy. Just think about the speed. Jaden Blue is a 10.6 guy. Think about the speed that Texas has. I mean, you know, and you look at the athleticism of this group. Look at the speed quickness of Colin Simmons and Trey Moore, what they're going to bring that Texas hasn't had. And that Baron Sorrell, good player. Ethan Burke, very good player, right? But those guys are different twitch. They're different speed and quickness coming off the edge. I think Texas is a faster team. I think what you're going to see is three straight top five recruiting classes and being a blue blood in the portal. an experienced offensive line, the best edge group Texas has had in a while. Anthony Hill, a star at linebacker. Does that mean Texas is a perfect team? No, you have your kicker coming back. I think they'll shore up punter. But I'm on record. I think Texas is going to be a better team next year than they were last year. Does that mean they're going to go 11-1 in the regular season? None of us can say that because you got health and you have a tougher schedule. But I'm on record. I love where Texas is at. I love what Texas does, the way they attack the recruiting process at the high school level. Very, very bright future. And, of course, add in Nyblack as well. I forgot Nyblack. Anytime you have a tight end that moves like a wide receiver, that scares defensive coordinators, Rod B. And that's kind of what I look at with Texas. I think they're going to scare defensive coordinators a little more with all that speed versus even last year.
Yeah, I think they should lean into it too, Jerry. And I agree with you, by the way. I think about the overall team speed. You're even looking at the additions of guys like Trey Moore and Colin Simmons off the edge.
Yeah,
it's faster. The BGO off the edge is faster. But getting back to your point about the speed on offense specifically, I think Sark should lean into it. I've been saying this for a while. I would love to see almost a Godspeed package on offense with first of all, you can go 10 personnel. You can throw that out there. The red personnel group that he had at Alabama, which is 10 personnel, one back, zero tight ends, throw four wide receivers out there. We know you can do that now. You definitely could do that with Jaden Blue in the backfield. Think about that kind of speed. I mean, I don't know any defense really that would have the defenders to keep up with that kind of speed. You'd have to go to zone just to kind of make sure that you kept a top on the defense and make sure that you had some fail safes. And if you did that, that should be easy pickings for a guy like Quinn Ewers. And think about going empty formation with a Jaden Blue. And they did empty, by the way, a lot in the spring game. Might be a little sneak peek about what's happening because Quinn Ewers traditionally has not been great out of empty formation for some reason. He holds on to the ball too long. He has taken sacks out of empty. But the last three games of the season, specifically against Washington, because it fit, even the last Alamo Bowl against Washington, they ran a lot of empty formation, and Quinn Ewers was great. He was completing over 80% of his passes out of empty formation versus Washington the last two times they played him. But they started running a little bit more in the last three games of the season against Oklahoma State and against Tech. And Quinn started to figure it out. Finally started to figure out the timing of empty, getting the ball out quickly, and started to figure out how it really cleans up his pre-snap read because the defense can't disguise. They got to get to their alignment and assignment. So one of my predictions, football theorist predictions, you're going to see more empty this season because you got a three-year quarterback who should be comfortable running out of empty. Your offensive line is better, so you can block. And by the way, people who complain about sacks out of empty, don't give me that. I've been tracking it. Sack rates actually drop out of empty formation because they get rid of the ball quickly. But now your weapons that you have with a Jaden Blue in the backfield. And think about it, the power of empty is if I go heavy personnel, you match my heavy thinking I'm going to run the football. But then what if I spread them out of empty? And that was the beauty when they had Bijan and Rojo in the backfield. They and JT Sam, they go 21 and they'd have on the field, you know, you could have AD Mitchell out there with a, you know, with a Bijan Robinson, not AD Mitchell Robinson. You can have Bijan Robinson, Rojo, JT Samson, and X-Man out there, and you can go empty formation while they're in 40 personnel potentially trying to match up with your heavy personnel. So if they go heavier personnel this season with Jaden Blue, with a Trey Wisner, with an Amari Nyblack at tight end, then go empty, they would have matchup advantages all across the board.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt about it. That's a great point, Robbie. Hey, before we get to more of you guys' questions, we have about 20 minutes left here. I want to thank our sponsor, Texas Electricity Ratings. For those of y'all still living in Texas and in major cities with deregulated electricity like Dallas and Houston, you understand that the deregulated electricity market can be confusing. Texas Electricity Ratings is a shopping website that lets you compare prices, read customer reviews, and find a good electricity that fits your needs. It also filters out a lot of the gimmicky plans on websites like Power to Choose that trick customers into expensive bills. So if you're in the market for a new electricity plan, shop TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for all your electricity needs. And they have a message. Book them. All right. Thank you to Texas Electricity Needs. I want to kind of reset the show. We've talked about Terrence Brooks in the portal, hitting the portal. Dominic Williams, Should be on campus right now. Some people are reporting he is. We reported this morning at on TexasFootball.com that he finished up classes about 2. He was expected in Austin this evening, so around 7 probably. This is his first time he's met with Kenny Baker, Steve Sarkisian as a recruit, PK, and all these guys. I think Texas knows how important Dominic Williams is. You get a Dominic Williams, and I think he's a difference maker, Rod. I think he changes the defense, especially that you have Bill Norton in the fold with Savea in the fold. I think Dominic Williams could be a third team, second team, all SEC level player. I really believe that. I think he's going to play 8 to 10 years in the pros if he stays healthy. I'm not necessarily comparing him to Andrew Billings or Byron Murphy, but I think there's some similarities in the way they go about it and that chip on their shoulder. So I think he's a very talented kid that's always going to outplay his ranking, his draft stock, or what have you. A big recruit, corner, who is Texas targeting? Takario Davis out of Arizona, originally out of Long Beach Millican. He's been in the portal for a while. I think he's the top corner target for Texas. We also have our eye on Anthony Johnson Jr. at Western Kentucky as a person of interest, a corner of interest. He played at Miami Norland and Pace out of high school, began his college career at West Florida, transferred to Western Kentucky, was a productive player with 4 interceptions in his first year of D1 ball, definitely a Power 5 talent. Both of those guys have long speed. Takario Davis, 6'3", 195 pounds, led the Pac-12 in PBUs with 15 last year, second team, all Pac-12 per the AP, honorable mention, per the Pac-12 coaches in his first year as a starter. Big-time talent. He's a guy that will be high on NFL draft boards in the future. Even people that cover University of Arizona said he's a top NFL prospect on the team this spring. So I think that's your top guy. I think there's a chance. And look, as far as who could leave from Texas, we believe that number could end up hitting 9 to 11 total guys that transfer out, which means they'd be playing under that 85 number, could maybe even as low as 82. Does that mean they could take 2 corners? Not out of the question, but they definitely want one. So we'll see. That's kind of a reset. Somebody, UT boy, said, I heard Riley P is coming to UT. Grady Jenkins, do you see us going after any other position in the portal besides D-line and cornerback? Punter, possibly. I think punter's possible. If punter is going to happen, I think they already have their guy identified. I'll say that. So I think punter's possible. I think Michael Kern is tremendously talented. Freshman punter coming in. Problem is he's still at St. Thomas Aquinas. He did not graduate high school early, so Texas hasn't seen him at the Power 5 level. The spring game would have been good for him, for Texas to really judge him through spring practice and spring game, but he does not get to Austin until June. We've had a lot of questions about Cormani McClain. I'm going to say this on Cormani McClain, not a path I would go down, and I don't expect Texas to either. He's a tremendously talented player. I think, I'll just say, if Deion Sanders isn't good enough to develop you at corner, I mean, who is?
That's fair.
Where are your thoughts on development? Is football and development number one for you, or is it just straight about NIL number one for you? I mean, Deion, you're not going to find a better guy to teach you how to play corner now. I've watched Deion work at the Under Armour game. When I was with ESPN Under Armour, we ran his Prime 21 camp. I've seen the man work. He's great at teaching defensive backs. Not good, great at it, great at communicating. That's not a path I would go down, and I don't expect Texas to as well.
Hey.
Yeah, UT boy, thank you for that super
thank
chat.
Thank you, UT boy. Appreciate you, brother.
All right, what are the odds Texas gets Dominic Williams and Takario Davis? So on Monday, I put it Dominic Williams at 51%. That was under the assumption, too, that Texas was there was a lot of confidence that Jay Toya would end up in Austin. Obviously, that didn't happen. I think that amps up the importance of Dominic Williams, even though I think he was the top guy on the board anyways. I think Texas will make it very difficult on the competition, and let's see what happens. But again, I'll say this. First time he's ever met Kenny Baker. First time he's ever sat down with Sark. as a recruit and PK and Johnny Nansen. I think there's a lot of appeal to Texas for Dominic Williams. I think, look, he wanted that offer out of high school coming out of Southern California. Bishop Alemany is where he finished up high school. I think the opportunity over the ball is a big one. I think the Texas program, the university, the culture, I think there's a lot of things. I actually think Kenny Baker is going to appeal to him once he sits down and has these in-person meetings, because this is a guy with a goal to be a long-term NFL player. Not that all these guys don't, but you know, the way he attacks it is similar to Byron Murphy, similar to Andrew Billings. So I think Texas will make it tough on him. Nothing's done. It's the NIL day and age. I don't want to say anything's a done deal. We have to see how it plays out. Takario Davis, I think the same thing. I think Texas will make it tough for the competition. Now, I think he is a guy who's going to have a lot of people hoping to get in the door on him. Yes, he has the no contact box check, but I think a lot of people are going to try. All right, Rick, did you ever get at odds with a wide receiver in practice? I presume Roy Williams did not like you up in his grill.
We got at odds with the wide receivers all the time. There were definitely multiple occasions where wide receivers went a couple of days without talking to me because of some of the antics and some of the discussions and the heated one-on-one battles that I had with wide receivers, some of the trash talk. It did get that personal, but we're teammates, so we squashed it at the end. But oh, it would get heated. We do 7-on-7s in the offseason, and we'd go up against the offense, so we do it out on the practice fields at night. And I remember I brought a boombox out there. This is before. Now they bring boomboxes out sometimes to, you know, for some of the players and some of the teams. You'll see them bring a boombox out. The 49ers do it. Some teams in the NFL and college do it. I did it out at 7-on-7, way before people started doing it. It wasn't a popular thing. And, oh, man, the wide receivers were upset. They did not like it. Thought it was disrespectful to them. I remember we had it out after that. Because they thought they accused me of not being about my business. I was just trying to hype up the 7-on-7 we were having. I was like, hey, man, bring the boombox out. We're going to hype it up. DBs were having a lot of fun. I think they were just upset because we was having a hell of a day and winning more than our fair share. And, yeah, we got into it. We got into it all the time about stupid stuff. But it was more about competition. And when they won, trust me, I heard about it all the next day. A lot of trash talk between us. But the best thing about that group is – man, they all made us better. We made each other better. That was the whole purpose of it, to push each other to the limit as much as we could. And I think we did. I think they made me the best player I could be being there with that group. So I love that group of wide receivers, man.
So the Roy Williams question led me, or Roy Williams being mentioned in the question, leads me to this. You've said it, Bobby said it, and I've said it, and we all agree that Ryan Wingo is the most talented, purely talented receiver Texas has recruited since Roy Williams. And that's saying something. Xavier Worthy may go in the first round on Thursday night. Recruited out of high school is the point here. Now that you saw Ryan Wingo in a spring game setting, what are your thoughts? And by the way, I can say this. The long touchdowns get the most retweets. Mm-hmm. His first catch as a Longhorn in that spring game was his most impressive play because he showed short area quickness at 6'2", 210. To make multiple guys miss on an intermediate catch. If he does things like that with everything else he has, watch the hell out.
He's got a nice arm too, right?
Yeah.
He overthrew him with
68 yards. Yeah.
Yeah. He actually had. Yeah, you got to go out there and catch it. I will say this about him. He is, to me, I think all the comparisons about Roy Williams are more than fair and accurate. I agree with him because I threw it out there myself. He is better with the ball in his hands than Roy is, than Roy was, I should say. And I think that is probably the scariest part of his game. He does have the ability to win contested catches. He has the ability to create separation with his speed. He's got the ability to accelerate and decelerate at an elite level. He's got what I call location acceleration when the ball is in the air. He can hit a different gear. He's got all the raw materials, but when the ball is in his hands, and yet we didn't see a lot of that. Right. That's the only time we really got a chance to see it. But to me, that's when he is scary and lethal. Just a simple and give him a simple curl route with some space and see what he can do. So I think he's a guy that's he's going to see the field. There's no doubt. I mean, right now I'd probably put him. He's definitely in your top three wide receivers on campus right now, in my opinion, even as a freshman.
All right, we have a question, Matthew Hutchinson from Jason Washington, that I wanted to bring up because I think it's so important. I think it was about 8:15 in that area. Okay, with the transfer portal, is it really greener grass for a transfer that's trying to go to another power program? I'd assume they'll face the same situation. I think it's a great point. I think for guys, it all depends on what you truly want. I'm of the belief, Rod, that the majority of these guys need to go down a little bit of a notch and go have a lot of success. And then maybe have an opportunity to bounce back to an SEC school or Big Ten school a year later, because while there as long as the NCAA allows you to transfer multiple times without penalty, you have a chance to set yourself up to bounce back in a way versus going into a similar situation you just left. Now, let's just talk about Terrence Burks, because he's in the portal. He can't go to an SEC school, right? You're not going to go to Ohio State. There's questions about that. There's a reason he flipped from Ohio State to Texas, because he knew that coaching staff was going to change on the defensive side of the ball. That's really what opened up the flip for Texas, and that and closer to home at the end of the day. But where is Terrence Burks going to jump right back into a similar situation he was in? We'll have to see. Probably not, though. I think you're going to be looking for the best situation that you can go in and have success, as long as the NIL's enough for you. There's very few schools that are going to command what a lot of these guys – or, you know, can pay what a lot of these guys are going to command through NIL. So, Rod, what are your thoughts on that? I'm of the belief that you kind of take a step back, you go have success, and either you stay there and go have success and go on to a pro career if you have it, or use that year to have success and bounce right back the next year.
Yeah, and you're right. The NCAA, they recently just changed the rule now, and if you have certain academic requirements, you can transfer without any penalty as many times as you want to. There is no limit on the amount of transfers. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think you should just go try to find the best situation for yourself. And with NIL now, yeah, you try to find the best market value that you can find. That's what guys are doing. They're hitting the open market, to hit the free market, become free agents to see what their market value may be. I'm sure some of these guys may not like it. And I think everybody's situation is different. I mean, you know, now we're in the transfer portal era where you have starters that are transferring, guys who are proven commodities who are transferring. It's not just guys who are looking for a path to play. Certain guys who are looking for a path to play, they may have a different incentive than guys who are already starters at a place and decided, nah, there's something else that I want, or, you know, I don't want to split reps here, or maybe I do want more NIL dollars, or maybe it's for some other reason. Maybe I want to feel comfortable. AD Mitchell wants to be closer to his family. I think there are a lot of different reasons that guys are making these decisions, just like recruiting, right? I think it's multifactorial. Of course, NIL may be a bigger factor than a lot of these other factors in their decision. But I do think it's a lot of different things. I don't know if it's just one. For every player, it's a different situation. For Terrence Burks, like I said, I imagine for him, it's a lot of different things. And hopefully this is not something that happened spur of the moment. Hopefully this is something that he has been thinking about for a while, and not something that happened because – there was a bad meeting or he doesn't like the way he played in the spring game or like something the coaches did to him. Hopefully it was something that he thought out over a longer period of time.
I think we have a super chat, Matthew, and we'll take a couple more questions. Then we got to get out of here. I got to get something for my throat again. All right, Rod, thank you, Max Helm, for the super chat. It's hard to keep these allergies down talking 4 hours a day.
Trust me.
How do we get a Keen in the coaches portal and come back to that?
It ain't happening. Yeah, Keen is a loyal guy, and he's a man of his word. So he's already given his word that he's going to be there in Arizona. I'll say this for the secondary period. It is a big year, man, for the secondary coaches and the secondary period, Coach Joseph and Coach Gideon. And I like both of those guys, but there's no doubt you have now sufficient talent in the secondary. And – you have been, or at least the secondary has been, a liability on campus since Sark has been here. It's time for that group to now step up, at least to not be a weakness on the roster. And if, even if it's not going to be a strength, it shouldn't be a weakness, at least with the players that you brought in. You brought in Makuba. You know, Jahdae Barron came back instead of going to the NFL. You got Malik Muhammad, who's expected to take a leap. And I know you're losing Terrence Brooks, but at this point, you have so many guys who are veterans in that system. If they don't take a leap this year, I think that will be an indictment on the coaches, on Coach Joseph, on Coach Gideon. And, you know, in the spring game, I think, unfortunately, it looks like they got a long way to go because they started out with some of the same issues they had last season.
Shook ones. Jerry, you see Kelshawn jumping in. Soon the secure wide receiver spot. I could see him being a guy that bumps, comes off a timeline at some point for his recruitment. We'll see. He has Texas June 14th through 16th. Couple of visits before that. I think TCU is going to get him on campus in May. We'll see how long the recruitment goes. He had a great visit with Steve Sarkisian. That was the first time his mom, little sister, have been on campus at Texas. Because his mom works in nursing, works a bunch of weekends, he's always made visits to Texas with either Hitchcock coach, Jonah Williams and his family out of Galveston County, who they're friends, or 7-on-7 coach or what have you. This is the first time him and his mom have been on campus. And Steve Sarkisian actually called the mom the night before the visit to make sure that she was coming on the visit so that they could actually sit down and talk as a family with the Texas staff for the first time. So that was a big part of the recruitment. We'll see how long his plays out, that recruitment plays out. That's a guy, we were talking about Aaron Butler earlier. That's a guy that's very similar to Aaron Butler as well. One of those guys that Sark, those type of receivers he really likes. All right, man. I've been battling through it. We'll keep battling through it. Somebody asked about Michigan in the portal. I think the feeling from those I've talked to, they don't expect the Michigan guys to jump in the portal. I think it's such an interesting discussion, Rod, because I want to put you in a player's shoes. You won the national championship.
Yep.
Michigan's not void of NIL, by the way. Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham going to be first, second round picks next year, right? A lot of people ask about Will Johnson. He may be a top 10 pick, the corner. He's a freak. He's the Takario Davis level guy, right? Will Johnson may have even more long speed. That's that level guy, right?
Yeah.
But yes, Jim Harbaugh's gone. Yes, they had coaching turnover. They've had a couple of issues. Yes, they get a little bit of probation. But is it hard, even in today's day and age, for those guys to leave their team? I mean, I think it's tough for those guys to leave that team in that scenario with all those guys they've been with. Finally got over the mountaintop with. I could be flat out wrong. I'll be surprised if those guys go in the portal as of Tuesday, April 23rd.
Yeah, I'm with you. When you're already getting the recognition as a guy who's going to be projected to be a first round pick, and you've already established that at Michigan, and as you pointed out, Michigan's a blue blood. They got plenty of sugar daddies and sugar mamas that'll help them in the NIL.
Ask the Fab Five.
Yeah, dude, they got and I think there is something about once you though basically Jim Harbaugh's a made man, and those guys around there think about that 05 team and how beloved they are, how among Longhorn fans. You know, they get free drinks anywhere they go. And then you're part of that team. You can probably, as long as you're interviewing with a Longhorn, hey, man, you got a good chance of getting that job because they have so much love for that 2005 team and what they did for the Texas brand and they did for the Longhorn fans. And they get the same type of road treatment up there with Michigan fans. And it's hard to leave that when you've accomplished what they've accomplished. So I don't see it either. Especially, like I said, they definitely are getting the NIL resources, especially after winning a national title. And like I said, they got made man status now among Michigan fans.
Yes.
They're like Longhorn fans, man. They're everywhere, far and wide. They're very affluent, and they're very dedicated to their brand, and they're dedicated to that brand. So I do think those guys will stay there for the most part.
All right, Corey Peacock, thank you for that. An Auburn corner just entered the portal. We'll run a couple of checks on that. All right, guys, that's going to do it for tonight's Longhorn live stream on Tuesday. We'll be back with Coffee and Football in the morning. We'll have another Longhorn live stream Wednesday night. That'll be Rod B, Bobby, and I think CJ Vogel will be back for that one. I'm going to give my voice a little rest tomorrow night.
Yeah, man.
Thursday night, watch with us for the first round of the NFL draft. We're going to talk recruiting. We're going to talk Texas football spring game. While we have a watch with us with the NFL draft first round. Could be as many as three Longhorns. Hope you got for drafting the first round. Hope you guys join us. I'm trying to work on a couple of guests for that as well. We'll see what happens. But thank you to all 3,650 and keep growing fans that have joined the Longhorn live stream tonight. And again, go to ontexasfootball.com. We have a special right now. Become an OTF OG for $39.95 annual subscription, $20 off the annual subscription price there. We've had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds jump on that. And we have a great club. You guys are making such a great club on Texas Football YouTube, OT, ontexasfootball.com. We thank you so much. We love chatting with you guys. We can never get to all your questions, but keep coming back. Keep pinging us, and we'll get to them. So thank you very much, guys, for always tuning in. We appreciate you much. For Rod Babers, I'm Jerry Hamilton. Hook 'em.
Hook 'em.